If you took the Myers-Briggs personality test, then stay tuned because this is Faction Fandom. Welcome back, everybody, for episode 22. Hello, Alyssa.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you this evening?
It's good to see you again.
It's always good to
see you. Fantastic.
Well, we are drinking alcohol.
I was going to say I'm a little hot because it's hot in the room, but I am drinking wine.
So
because adulthood.
Because adulthood. It's
hashtag adulthood.
Hashtag adulthood. It is a great thing.
It's great. So what are you drinking then?
I am drinking a margarita because, you know, I didn't get enough of those on Cinco de Mayo, the fakest holiday in existence.
Hey, you know what I learned a couple of weeks ago that, this is interesting because you're in the New England area. So for you, St. Patrick's Day is probably bigger than Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Whereas it's parties all the time down here. Banners and posters and signs on the gas station windows. They are going all out. I'm just like, all righty.
It is a fake holiday, and I love everything about it.
It's not a fake holiday. Cinco de Mayo is cherished.
It is also not Mexican Independence Day.
And, well, no, it's not.
That we kind of decided was the Mexican Independence Day and then appropriated it and made it taco and margarita night.
But it's the day we celebrate Mexican Independence Day, right?
In America.
Sort of like Christmas is the day we celebrate the birth of Christ, even though Jesus was born in, like, you know,
June,
September, whatever.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Except the problem with that is that there's actually a day of Mexican independence, and it is not May 5th. But anyway, this is us getting off topic.
We are back this show today with some more actual, you know, things, book things, actual news, if I can find some recommendations. So we're back in action.
We are on
all
books.
Wonderful things. Mm-hmm. Speaking of books, was it last episode or the episode before that? You had talked about your friend Susan on Tumblr.
Asks
you fantastic things.
She does.
She asks Alyssa questions about books, and sometimes they're really, really, like, hard-hitting things. So we're going to do a Susan Asks segment, kind of kick it off.
Yeah.
And Alyssa's going to pick one of your favorite questions.
Okay. So this one I got about 3 weeks ago, and she asked, how often do you stop reading a book and decide never to go back to it? Do you feel obligated to finish it when it's bad, but someone you know thinks it's great? So, again, really great question. I've loved every single question this woman has put forward to me. My response to this was, and I'll just read it because it's in front of me. I stop reading a book when I realize that I've put it down for longer than a week, or if while reading, I get a feeling of ugh or blech as I go on. Sometimes, though, I read the end of the book and hate the ending so much that I stop reading. As for feeling obligated, no, I never feel obligated to finish a book except under very specific circumstances. One, I'm reading it for class. Two, I'm reading it for class. And thankfully, I'm not in classes anymore. So I never feel obligated to read a book that I don't enjoy. If your friend's mad at you for not liking a book that they like, then they're clearly not very good friends, as good friends will understand that we're not the same and we all have different tastes, and we're certainly not obligated to finish it for the author. Moral of the story is that you shouldn't ever feel like you have to read a book you don't like. And that is my response to this question. Stephanie, what do you think?
Amen. That's my answer. No, I think about my own experiences with this, and I can't say that I've ever stopped a book because I didn't like it. I usually power through them, but that does not mean that I don't have books on my shelf that I have not finished. I have a collection of them. I'm thinking about making a Goodreads bookshelf of books I have to finish because there are so many of them. And the reason why I will stop and not finish them is because I want to read something else. Like something else comes out, or I'm not in the mood to feel this angsty at the moment, so I want to read something kind of fluffy, or I am scared of where the book is going. And it's not that I won't finish them, because I do eventually, but that's the only time I ever actually stop. Even when books are really bad, and the only time I can think for this is when I read The Pretties. No, yeah, which is like the sequel to The Uglies.
Right.
And I'm sorry for listeners out there. It's a personal opinion, but I really didn't like that series, and I have not finished it. And I read the second book, and it took me a very long time to do it. Even though I kind of hated it, I still eventually finished it. But yeah. However, when people recommend me books, depends on your credibility. For instance, today, my aunt texted me. And it's so funny because I feel so bad for her. But she texts me, hey, no pressure or anything, but did you ever finish reading The Shack? And for those of you who don't know, The Shack is like a really famous...
it's a religious book.
And yeah, it's a religious book. Well, I'm a religious person, so I mean, that's
a lot.
Whatever. But I don't know why I haven't read this book yet. She's been asking me to do this for 2 years. And I
no,
haven't no. done it.
I know why you haven't done it.
And I've started it. I have started. I'm a couple chapters and I have started it. It's not that I don't want to read it. I just feel like there are so many other things I'd rather be reading than that right now. Yeah.
I know why you haven't read it.
Why?
Because it's a crap book.
Oh, Alyssa, don't say that.
And it is not because it's religious. It is not because it's religious. It's just simply a crap book.
It's slow. I don't know. Like I said, it just depends on the book. It depends on the person recommending it to me as well. Because if Alyssa keeps pressuring me to read The Night Circus, after 3 months, I eventually do it. Whereas when my aunt pressures me, she's not as mean as Alyssa is. So I don't feel scared to actually complete the favor of reading this book that she really likes.
So. You do not mean.
We recorded that conversation, Alyssa.
The listeners know. It wasn't mean. It was firm.
But for good reasons. It was an excellent book, and you highly recommended it from like the depths of your soul. So
the utter depths of my soul. Same happened with Anna, Lola, and Isla.
This is true.
You were very firm that I should read them, and I gave in, and they were wonderful.
This is very true.
This is not wrong.
That was a great question.
Such fun questions. I love them.
It really makes you think.
They do. All of them do, basically. No.
I feel like she should have a jingle.
She should.
Susan, ask. Or something. I don't know.
Although if anybody is interested to see the other questions she's asked me, you could go on to my blog, abookblog.tumblr.com, and you could search for Susan Asks Stuff. And you'll find all of the tags, all of the questions she's ever asked me. That's me plugging my blog. There.
Good job. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get on with some news. Okay. And I'll be quite honest, I have not.
Well, not a lot has happened.
A whole lot of Divergent. I agree. Most of it is about the whole Allegiant stuff happening. Or Veronica Roth, which we kind of know what she's doing. Like you said, there's not a whole lot of things going on. But we did get some more Allegiant casting, which is very interesting.
It is. MTV News, which I can't believe I just opened. First of all, because apparently MTV is not relevant anymore. But anyway, the headline for this article is the Divergent series Allegiant just cast its big bad. Jeff Daniels is going to be the big baddie in Allegiant. Now, I haven't read Allegiant yet, so I don't know who this genetic researcher David is.
Mm-hmm.
And I am truly, truly shocked that it is that Jeff Daniels is playing a baddie.
I love Jeff Daniels as an actor, but when I look at him, all I think of is Dumb and Dumber.
You see, I never really enjoyed Dumb and Dumber, so I don't picture that. I just don't see him as a bad guy. I've seen him in serious roles. The Paper Man. He was great in The Paper Man. It's a very serious role, you know, with hints of comedy. But you know, I can't picture him as the bad guy. It's going to be really interesting.
Oh, man.
One of the comments is, the Bureau of Genetic Welfare, not Warfare, MTV. At least check your facts if you're not a fan of the series. And apparently someone is getting down.
Well, okay. We learned before we even started recording that there are some people out there who just have a lot of time on their hands. Bigger, and I'm not afraid to say, hardcore bigger fans than we are. So they really go at it. Like, if you're like me and you have to have a face, you like hear Jeff Daniels and you think, who is that? Jeff Daniels is one of the main characters off of Dumb and Dumber, which is probably the most famous thing he's known for. And I don't know his name. He's the blonde guy, though. He's also known for Good Night and Good Luck, Looper, and also Speed. He's going to be playing David. I don't know. I guess when I remember David from the book, he's kind of like there's Janine and Evelyn.
Yeah.
So minor Allegiant spoiler here. Obviously you've read the title, so you know what he does.
Yeah.
I guess I can go ahead and tell you that they make it out of the fence.
Kind of figured that one.
To kind of see who made this big video at the end of the book and figure out what that's about. Right. So David is kind of like the Janine of the people outside the fence. Ah. He's the leader of that group. Meanwhile, Avengers Age of Ultron came out. Alyssa,
thoughts? I know. I've seen it twice. And it wasn't as good as the first one. It was much funnier than I thought it was going to be. And I'm assuming that by the time you post this, people will have seen it. So spoiler alert if you haven't. I was not a huge fan of Natasha and Bruce. It came out of nowhere.
Oh,
and
you
were? I didn't appreciate it. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. And I was like, what? No. Why? They turned. What really I think pisses me off about it is that they turned the Black Widow, the most badass bitch, into like this woman who's willing to run away for a dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
I get what you mean. Everyone loves Natasha because she is the badass character that doesn't need romance to be awesome. And they did that. I like the idea of her and Bruce. I will ship them. However, I'm kind of with you. I feel like they should have introduced that or hinted towards that. Not even her and Bruce, but I mean, broken down her walls a little bit and kind of spread that whole have this motherly instinct that I can't do or I can't be with people, and that kind of depresses me. They should have spread that out over a couple of movies, and they have plenty of movies to do that with, but this is it was too much for them in one movie. They definitely should have spread that out.
It really was. It was kind of in the middle of Winter Soldier when, like, right after they get blown up, when they're going to the Falcon, so then they're going to Sam's house, where it happens in the car, where she brings up, well, we could go to Bruce. He's not a bad guy. They would have just put it in a place where I could see it coming. But what bothers me probably more than anything else is how much they've been foreshadowing Hawkeye Black Widow relationship.
Anyone who doesn't read the comics would definitely think that they were ship them. Everyone loves Hawkeye. Everyone loves what's his name? The Clint. Guy.
Clint Barton.
Thank you. Clint. He's cute and he's shoots sassy. Arrows and he's sassy and he's awesome. Him.
And I love him. But no!
He had to go off and marry Velma off of Scooby-Doo.
That's who it was. Mother of God. That's who it was.
I know. I left that movie thinking, I know that woman. I feel like she should have glasses.
No, you did not really.
I looked it up.
You didn't actually like walk out of there being like, she should have glasses.
No, I did because I sat there, I kept looking at her and I kept thinking, oh my God, she's in something. I feel like she's in something that has glasses.
Oh,
and
God.
I could not figure out what it was. And I kept thinking about it and thinking about it. And finally I was like, screw it. And I looked it up on IMDb because I was looking up names of people anyway. And I was like, that's who she is. She's Velma off of Scooby-Doo.
I can't believe you put glasses on her before knowing she was Velma. I just think it's funny.
It's like seeing Christina Ricci and not thinking of Casper. Like, that's what you think of when you see Christina Ricci.
I do.
So, Casper. Other than that, some really cool things like Scarlet Witch.
Love her.
That's going to be pretty cool.
I think I
cried when Flash, when Quicksilver died.
I'm not over it. I cried. That moment when the audience collectively gasped when the Vision did the thing.
Okay, he did many things. What was the, because of the hammer?
Because of the
hammer. That was the thing. That was the funniest thing.
But what did your theater collectively gasp when he picked up the hammer?
I don't know that they collectively gasped, but you could hear a pen drop when that scene was going on. And it wasn't, I mean, it was full on. And to be fair, we went on Saturday. So we went like that weekend. Yeah. And I didn't think our movie theater was going to be like full because we went in the afternoon. But it was. And I should have known better. But I had a very vocal theater audience.
Nice.
Everyone just stops talking and listens. Yep. And then it wasn't until you see the pan of their faces, all of the characters are just like, did he just pick that up? And Thor's face is just like, did you just hand that to me? And everyone busts out laughing. So it was those little things. Like when Steve almost picks up the hammer and Thor was just like, what? Everyone was like,
yeah. Although
there was a little gasp there. But I mean... God.
The one thing I really walked away from with the movie was that Captain Steve Rogers does not appreciate your language.
Can we just appreciate, look, I've been there where I'm a big prude when it comes to language, but can we just appreciate the fact that the first line of the movie was shit?
That was great.
It was, thank you, Joss Whedon.
Thank you, Joss Whedon.
I loved it for many reasons, and I hated it for many reasons. Yeah. It doesn't make me love Joss Whedon any less, because he's still my bae.
He's not directing any more Avengers movies.
No. He'll be doing some other stuff.
He's got other
and
stuff.
And I will line up.
But, yeah.
So that's all we got for Phantom News today. We might be picking up on some other things in the future. I'm still debating whether or not I'm going to have to play hooky again on Monday.
Stephanie!
Alyssa took the privilege of texting me that a Rainbow Rowell was going to be in Dallas this coming Monday, the 11th, for the release of her new Fangirl edition for Barnes & Noble. And I am planning on buying it, but I didn't really plan on missing work to buy it. I mean, I could go after work. But I really don't want to go after work when all the school kids are out.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do it.
I'd really rather go at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
I would go see Rainbow Rowell.
But I definitely want to go because Rainbow Rowell.
I know. You know? I know.
I want someone to come with me, but who knows?
I would love to go with you, except I'm not in Dallas.
Well, you should. You travel a lot. You're not going to be traveling in that time?
Not to Dallas.
Well, let's go ahead and get moving because we do have a lot of chapters to cover today. Yes. Chapter by chapter, our weekly segment that we do every time where we kind of read through the book and discuss it and ask questions and rant a little bit because we're good at that. It's been a while since we did chapter by chapter. So just to kind of give you an idea of where we left off, Triss and Four are going to walk into Candor to kind of see where they lie as far as the war and alliances go. And the moment they get there, they get arrested.
They do.
They don't really know why.
Yes.
Well. And that's where we leave off at.
Yes.
So chapter 11 pops up. They're arrested. And I guess they're kind of trying to think of why they would be arrested. And the big thing is, well, they're probably like, you know, traitors because – Triss killed Will, and she killed other Dauntless people in the process, and Four ran the simulation, even though he was under the simulation to run the simulation. It's a very confusing thing.
It is.
But while they're there, we meet Jack Kang.
I like Jack Kang.
I think he fits his position well.
He does.
They've got footage of this thing happening, and they don't know what they are. So, I mean, I'd arrest them if I knew what they knew.
Totally arrest them.
Well, yeah. And need to explain to them, you're going to be put on trial, basically. And all will be revealed in time.
Yeah.
So there's...
And Triss's immediate reaction to that was, no, fuck.
They even had this moment where Four's like, why are you freaking out? Do you have anything to hide? And she flat out tells him,
no.
So she's lying. She keeps lying to him. She I feel like she's doing this to herself.
Well, she is.
She lies to him. She lies to Christina. I mean, I understand why she's lying, but still.
I get it. She doesn't want to, like... But the problem is that had she revealed this to Christina prior to going under the truth serum, she probably could have explained what the situation was when it happened.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
And instead, she just kind of blurts it out.
Well, and everyone assumes that obviously she was hiding it because she didn't reveal it until she was forced to. Yeah, so she's just lying some more. I think she's kind of lying to herself. I think she feels like if she doesn't admit it, then it'll go away and she can choose to forget about it or hide it more in herself. Like, once I admit it out loud, then it becomes a real kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure at this point she's in, like, very severe PTSD.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, she is in the throes of PTSD.
So Tobias goes first under the truth serum. And I don't know. I feel like we learn more from Tobias's trial than we do from Triss. Maybe because she's our main character and we know her stuff. But I feel like Tobias's thing was more impacting on the people and her and himself and everybody.
Yeah.
But he kind of admits, you know, that Evelyn and Marcus Eaton are his parents. So, you know, that news story that went around way back when, that was him.
Yeah.
That he is, in fact, divergent. I like that he explained how divergent people fight the simulations. It was very detailed. I had to read it again just to make sure I was reading it right. But it's like the first time we get an explanation on how that all works.
Yeah.
We get a recap of what happened in the control room. He explains all that he was under a simulation while running the simulation, yada, yada, yada. And his biggest regret is choosing Dauntless to run away from his dad. So that's his cowardice is his biggest regret. And then Triss's turn.
Yay,
which she kind of more or less says the same thing. She can resist simulations because she also is divergent. Tells her whole spiel about the end of the first book with her mom and her dad. Kind of skims over the part with Will and explains what happened with Four in the control room and how she saved the world. And then when asked what she regrets, she explains that she regrets shooting Will. So she does this out of free will, right?
Yes, because she's at this point kind of resisting the serum. Like, she still knows that she's required to answer, and it's making her answer, but she can choose how she answers, I think, if I remember correctly.
It's like many serums, she is able to resist this.
Yes.
What do you think about Tobias's experience as opposed to Triss's? I mean, obviously, he looked like he tried to resist as well, but we weren't in his head, so.
No. I don't know. I don't think he tried to resist it. I think he was uncomfortable with the sensation and the questions mm-hmm. that we were being asked, but I don't think that he like truly put any effort into resisting the serum because you know, he was generally on board to do the truth serum because it would prove that they were innocent.
That's true. I don't know. And I only say this because we talked a lot about Tobias being divergent or not. and kind of, you know, does he really admit it? Does he allude to that? He admits it here. He can resist some serums, but not others. And I think about this scene, and I think that kind of going back to the movie where we had this whole, Triss is 100% divergent, as opposed to some people who are only 20%. I think that's where this came from, you know, because in Allegiant, they're going to do this whole like divergent explanation.
Okay.
You know, they can't show this obviously. So they're going to throw this whole, some people are more divergent than others.
Right.
I didn't get that at first, but then reading this, I guess I kind of see why they would throw that in there.
Yeah. And it was just an interesting situation because I don't think he really put any effort into resisting the serum. And I don't know. Like, we've had this conversation several times about whether or not he's actually divergent. And I'm just not sure that he is.
Because he does resist some serums, but he doesn't resist others.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't fight as much as maybe he's not as strong. I don't know how that works. But there is something to that that we still speculate.
Yeah.
So that was chapter 12. And then chapter 13 kind of opens up at the end of all that. Obviously, Christina's like, you know, heartbroken.
She's like, she's angry. She's mad.
I hate it because she gives her one of those looks where she's just like, I can't believe I actually called you a friend.
Yeah.
And then turns away.
And then
that was the look she gave her.
I really hate that. Like, seriously, she clearly regrets the situation. Why do you have to be pissy about it? I mean, I understand you being pissy about it, but there was a situation and you were involved in the situation. And there were extenuating circumstances. She clearly regrets shooting him. And it bugs the shit out of me that Christina doesn't see it. But Christina is overwhelmed with sadness at having lost her lover.
Because, I mean, I don't know, it's a different kind of connection when you get together with someone. And that was Christina's person, and Triss took that away from her, more or less.
Not on purpose.
I mean, Christina woke up from the simulation. She shot people. Does she not forgive herself for that? I mean, she could have very easily shot Will as much as Triss did.
Yeah, actually, I feel like it's... Here's my other thought, is that if she really wanted to not kill Will, she could have just shot him in the leg or shot him in the arm.
We've said that before.
I know we've said that before, and it still bugs me.
And it was the adrenaline of the moment. It was an attack, and I think she hesitated because he was her friend. I think if she had had more time to think it over, then maybe she could have just shot him in the leg. But all that adrenaline and her mom just died and all that stuff happening with Will, you know.
I know.
She was traumatized.
I know.
Devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Anyway. So guess who else is angry at her, though?
Tobias!
Yeah, because she lied to him. Now, this I understand, because she flat out lied to him.
She did. Several times.
He kept asking her.
It's like, so clearly you're not okay. You want to tell me what's going on.
And then they had this fight. So
fight.
To give Triss credit, this is like their first fight, I think. But also, he wasn't honest with her either, because he didn't really explain that midnight rendezvous with his mom and the whole plan to take the factionless and do the thing with the erudite. So, right. I mean, he has ideas going on he doesn't share with her. And obviously, she wasn't as honest either. Do you think either one of them was more justified than the other?
I mean, I think, no. Neither one of them is more justified than the other. But I think that Four had more concern and more obvious concern earlier. And His thing was really just like, oh, I went and met my mom and we talked about a plan. Where her thing is like, I killed a guy that I know and I really liked, and I'm clearly not doing okay. She's just suffering a little bit. I've she's got PTSD, but she's not talking about it. And I think that's where the problem really lies on Forrest's part, is that she's not expressing the pain that she's so clearly feeling.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you on that. He was a lot more concerned with her, whereas she wasn't as concerned. She just was whooping around being like, well, you hid things from me too.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
At this point in the book, I know you've read the whole thing, but at this point when reading it, did you think they were like on a break? I mean, this is like their first fight. This was their first moment.
They kind of stalked off in different directions and she was like, fuck all y'all. But I don't think they were necessary. I don't think that Four thought they were on a break. So,
well, he says this thing. He says, sometimes it's not easy being with you, Triss.
Yeah.
While they're angry. And while he's angry at her and while he's mad at her and he says that, I can see why that would, like, that shot me in the heart a little bit. That's like the worst thing you could say.
You don't say that. Yeah.
You could have handled that better.
Exactly. Anyway. They could have.
I mean, but besides them, everyone else treats her okay. And that's where chapter 14 gets in. She, you know, she sees all of her other dauntless people. Lynn, of all people, brings her up here. Yay. She's like, stop being mopey. And that was fun.
That was fun.
We find out that apparently Zeke's a traitor.
Yeah. That was sad.
And I love this. Everyone's scared Triss is going to blow them up with her divergent mind powers.
Because apparently divergent mind powers are like, they're scary.
I think that's so funny. It's, what's the word? It's not like racism. Racist.
It's not racist. It's
bigotry.
Yes.
Prejudice. It's like, prejudice. it's prejudice. It's the word I'm thinking for.
Yeah, there we go. We can come up
with it. It's just prejudice because they don't know what divergent is.
We were English majors.
Girl, I'm bad about that.
We have words.
Ugh. But all that happens. We meet Hector and Shauna, which are Lynn's brother and sister. Mm-hmm. And after calming down a little bit, they decide that the Dauntless at Kander that they meet up with, they're still at Kander, but like the Dauntless people are there.
Yeah.
They're going to go do some erudite surveillance.
Right.
But not four. Because they're on a break.
Yes. And he doesn't like heights.
Quote, unquote. But then, like, they don't even get out the door.
No, I feel
so bad. They were like, oh, we're just going to go do this thing. We're going to be dauntless, yada, yada. And they don't even make it out the door because people come and shoot them.
Because the dauntless traitors show up.
And they shoot him with these things. And then they throw gas in the broom.
Yep.
And it's chaotic. But apparently no one's really dead. And I don't know, somehow Triss is awake, except because she's divergent powers.
The serum.
So she decides, I like this plan. She decides she's going to get a disguise by taking one of the people's jackets and go back in and take down all the erudite dauntless traitors.
Because this is a really
by
good
herself.
Idea. Because that's really going to help.
Well, she goes with Uriah.
Yep.
But Uriah was a smart one. He was like, we should just go.
We should just leave.
But
I just think Uriah needs to be everywhere and, like, everything.
Right. So they're going to go do this thing and they're going to take down the people. But then she gets caught by Eric.
Yep.
And captured.
Asshole.
I like that she decides, I don't have any guns. So I'm going to take them down with my knife.
Yep.
All these guys with guns.
And I'm going to use my knife.
Smart.
She's much more dauntless than I think she gives herself credit for. It's stupid heroism, and I'm kind of not down with it.
It's kind of reckless, actually.
This is why I'm not a dauntless person. It's also why I'm not a Gryffindor.
You're not a Gryffindor?
Nope.
Well, you're a Ravenclaw, I would assume.
Ravenclaw, Slytherin, depends on the day.
Well, what happened next? I forget.
Well, she stabbed Eric. So
she does stab Eric with a knife. So she does do that. And then everything happens at once. Because after that point, Eric falls and everyone's going crazy and all hell breaks loose. And other Dauntless come and save the day.
Yay.
And Triss did the knife thing, so good for her.
Yep.
Moving on to our final chapter, which is chapter 17. Technically, Kara saved the day, which I think was kind of cool.
It is.
She, I guess what happened was she came with the Dauntless Erudite people, ran up the stairs to warn the people who weren't under the simulations yet. They came and saved the day. Yeah, so that kind of scares everybody away, and everything's back to normal now. So Kara's here, Caleb comes back, and Marcus comes back, who is alive. And we kind of figure out what these blue needle things are that Triss is taking out of everybody.
Yep.
They say, her and Tobias had this talk that apparently the gas was what put people to sleep, so they could capture the Divergent.
Who didn't?
And then the blue needle is, so they resisted that. And then the blue needle stuff is like a simulation serum.
Yeah.
That's not, they're kind of scared of. Because they think it could be long lasting, not something that just lasts 15 minutes.
And it is, but we're not sure.
I like the ending things though. I mean, her and Caleb kind of chit chat and they have this like relaxing conversation. It's at least it's not all like crazy things happening. There's some nice minor character comic relief going on.
Yes.
But we talked about this a minute ago. What do you think about Triss sort of feeding off of her depression to be reckless?
I think it's not healthy. I mean, I think
She's being reckless, or do you think
I think she's being reckless. I think she's trying to like give herself reasons to do something, you know, to put herself into situations where that are potentially more dangerous than she should be in. And she's doing this for, I think, the rush and to kind of get herself to stop feeling guilty about things that she, you know, no longer has control over. Yeah. And I think it's really unhealthy that she does this.
I agree with you. I do think that she's has this whole, like, I don't care anymore, so I'm just going to do what I want to do and save as many people as I want, despite my, you know, life. But at the same time, these things she's doing are good. You know, they captured Eric and they, I don't know, did something else, I'm sure. But good things happen out of that. So I don't know if I regret those things for her or not.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Tobias has this whole, I can't help you if you don't help yourself complex. But
yeah,
that's his problem. He needs to get over himself.
He does.
So those are our chapters. So next time, I guess we'll pick up with chapter 18 through, what do you think? 21? 22?
22. Let's do 22.
18 through 22?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to the game, more or less.
Yes.
But if you listen to the intro, we are going to talk a little bit about this whole Myers-Briggs personality thing. It's not new, but it's been going around my Tumblr dash a lot lately. Thanks to a very helpful chart. You can find this on christinareads.blogspot.com, but she's another fan of Divergent, and she's apparently a fan of this whole personality thing because she's got some other fandom charts up there as well. And but we're going to start off with Triss, I guess.
She is an INTP, and the comment under it is that she's a natural-born thinker, reserved, theoretical, analytical, and logical, often coming up with systems with which to solve problems, quick to correct others, interested more in ideas than in social interaction, and has a strong ability to stay on task.
Very cool. It says that she's a, they're 3% of the population. There's nothing they'd be more unhappy about than being common. Apparently, INTPs pride themselves on their inventiveness and creativity, their unique perspective and vigorous intellect, usually known as the philosopher, the architect, or the dreamy professor. I don't know that matched what you said, but that's what that thing says.
INTP is introverted, intuitive, thinking, and prospecting. are relaxed about their work, very good at improvising, and prefer keeping their options open, seeking freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense.
Some famous INTPs in history were Socrates, René Descartes, Blaise Pascal, Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, James Madison, and Dwight D. Eisenhower. Eisenhower. Oh, and Gerald Ford.
And Carl Jung.
Alrighty. Let's see, what does Forrest say? I like his. He's the defender. How perfect is that?
It's pretty perfect.
So Tobias is an ISFJ, which stands for an introvert sensory feeling. What's J stand for? Judging?
Judging.
Introvert sensing, feeling, and judging.
Yep.
And it says, traditionally loyal and kind and observant of others, they value stability and cultural norms and are often consistent with work, known for their kindness and willingness to go to any length to help those in need. They strive to create an orderly environment.
You know, I think it's really interesting that a lot of the character main dauntless characters are introverts.
Really?
Yeah. So we've got Will, we've got Tobias, Christina, and Triss. Those are four of the main dauntless characters. That said, Peter, Tori, Uriah, Eric are all extroverts.
Uriah and Marlene are definitely extroverts.
Oh, completely.
Just by looking at that. I don't know about the other things, but I definitely agree with that. But those are just a few of the people. Well, I'll leave a link in the show notes if you want to go check that out. She's got some really cool things from the other fandoms up as well. If you are into this, I know a lot of people love this is crack for them, this whole personality type.
Oh, I think it's cool.
It is pretty interesting. So speaking of that, Alyssa, what did you get when you took your personality test?
I got an ENFJ, which is extrovert, intuitive, feeling, judging. And according to 16 personalities, that makes me the protagonist. And it says that I am a natural born leader full of passion and charisma, forming around 2% of the population. I'm often politicians, coaches, teachers, reaching out and inspiring others to achieve and do good in the world. I have a natural confidence that begets influence. ENFJs take a great deal of pride and joy in guiding others to work together to improve themselves and their community.
Very cool.
It's not entirely wrong.
What are some famous ENFJs?
Our president, Barack Obama, Sean Connery, Ben Affleck, Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan, Tommy Lee Jones, Matthew McConaughey, John Cusack, and my favorite, Daenerys. I will take it. I will take it.
I like that idea. I think you make a good ENFJ.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. So when I took mine, I took it earlier again, just to make sure I was on the spot. And I was one letter off from what I remember, but mine says an ESFP, which is extrovert sensory feeling perceptive, I think is what the P stands for.
Prospecting.
Thank you. And according to this, I am the entertainer. Well, it says if anyone is to be found spontaneously breaking into song and dance, it is the ESFP personality. They get caught up in the excitement of the moment and want everyone else to feel the way they do. No other personality is as generous with their time and energy when it comes to encouraging others, and no other personality does it with such irresistible style.
Aw.
So, snaps for me, I guess.
Snaps for you.
I don't know. I like to think I have more brains than these people, but that's okay.
Hey, I would argue that some of these people have incredible brains.
Marilyn Monroe, Leonardo DiCaprio, Steve Irwin, Jamie Oliver, and Kathy Lee Gifford. There's also Kyle Petty, Eva Gabor, and Arsenio Hall, which I've never heard of before, but those are our things.
I think we should leave a link in the show notes to the test. Tell us what you are.
Yeah, we'll definitely leave a link to this chart that Christina put on her blog and then the link to take the test because those are some pretty interesting things. I'm sure people have heard of it. I'm sure people have already taken it too, but
I'm sure they have, but it's always interesting to take it more than once because sometimes you change over the course of your life.
People grow. Yeah, exactly. Moving on, as we always love to do, by the end of every episode, we recommend something.
Mm-hmm. I have a book.
What's your book you recommend today?
My book is The Paper Magician. The Paper Magician is by Charlie Holmberg. And it's pretty, I don't know what it is. So it's magic. And it's about this one girl named Cine Twill, who is reluctantly apprenticed to a folder. And the folder is a type of magician that works with paper. And it's kind of set in the Victorian era of England. And she goes to, it's like a 1-year intensive magic school that she goes to. And she is apprenticed to Emery Thane, who is a master folder. And I kind of just devoured it in a minute and a half.
Does she choose the material? Or does the material choose you?
No, you typically choose the material in this world, but she did not choose paper. It was chosen for her because there aren't many paper magicians out there.
That seems kind of sucky for her not being able to choose.
Yeah, it gets, you know, honestly, I really enjoyed the concept of the first book, and I'm really looking forward to the next book when it arrives at my doorstep. And I'm kind of very excited to see what happens next and how it's going to move forward. So that is my book recommendation for today. Paper Magicians by Charles Holmberg.
I'm going to go ahead and go with something. Well, the thing that I stayed home today to read that no one needs to know that I stayed home today, but I did. And I've been reading this book called Simon Versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda by Becky Abertalli. And it's pretty fascinating, I would say. I was very excited about this book when I first got it. And it's not like what I thought it was going to be. It's much more subtle. But I'm learning a lot from it as well, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So, like, Simon is a boy in high school, junior, who hasn't come out yet. And he writes to this unknown other gay boy in his high school. And they kind of have a thing going on, but they don't know each other, and it's like an online chat. They found each other on like the school Tumblr or something. And he accidentally leaves the screen on one day, and this, what I think he's definitely an asshole, but this assholery kind of guy comes up and sees the screen and blackmails him and says, "Look, Simon, I want you to hook me up with this one girl. And in return, I won't blast your personal life all over the internet."
Cool. Not cool, but interesting.
No, but it's interesting. Yeah. And so that's what they do. So he spends all of his time doing these things and writing to this person and trying to figure things out for himself. I don't know. It kind of opens up my mind to like the life of a teenage boy. And I love it because I don't know why I kind of got the idea that a gay boy in high school would have been like a girl in high school. And that's very stereotypical of me to say that, but I'm sheltered. I don't know many gay boys, so especially not in high school. So, yeah, when I picked it up, it's like, oh, it's just about a boy in high school who also happens to be gay. He just, you know, reads Draco Harry fan fiction, and I pictured him as this like Elton John kind of character. So it's much more laid back and informative than I thought it was going to be, but I'm enjoying it a whole lot.
Good.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been reading. I'm definitely going to have to check out what you're reading, because that sounds really all cool. I love magic fantasy novels.
Currently I'm in the middle of, I'm almost done. Finally, I finally like picked up and actually started finishing The Red Queen. I'm finishing it tonight, and I got halfway through 60 for me.
You're only on page 60?
No, I'm in the middle somewhere. But last night was I finally picked it up again, because the beginning of it was just so
kind of slow
and kind of really uninteresting. But I powered through it.
Good.
And at about page 60, I was like, wait, what? And that's when it just sort of sped through. And then suddenly it was midnight, and I was like, I have to work tomorrow. I'm just going to finish it today.
That's good. You'll definitely have to let me know what you thought at the end of it, because it definitely.
I read the end.
You know? You already read the end?
I always read the end.
Why? Why would you do that to yourself?
Because it bothers me if I don't.
Oh my gosh.
I'm one of those annoying people.
I think I've lost a lot of respect for you now. I can't believe that. I am not
the only person that does that.
There's
a point in every book that I read. The only place I can't do it is on ebooks. And it bugs the shit out of me. It's really hard to do it in ebooks. But
why can't you do it in ebooks?
Because it's hard.
Just go to like 75% or 90% and read the last 10 pages.
Not the point, Stephanie. It's not the point.
But not that I'm encouraging that, but
well, so I typically do it. I think it's a habit I picked up from my grandmother. And I read like the last two pages. You know, it helps me. I get about 25% of the way through a book, and then I go to the end, because either by that point I'm really interested in what's happening and I want to know what happens at the end, or I'm not interested in it and I want to know what happens at the end so that it will either propel me to finish the book so that I find out how we get from here to there, or if the ending is really, really uninteresting to me, then sometimes I'll just stop. I'll just be like, you know what? Never mind. Not worth it. You know what? It happens. I'm not the only one that does it.
I know, but...
And I don't understand how you can judge me for it.
I'll judge you for like the next 5 minutes and then I'll be done.
All right.
I think it's just because... That's like the best, that's the most fun in a book for me, is trying to figure out the end. And then, I mean, obviously it's written and it's storyline for a reason. So I love trying, like I will go back and forth and be like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I did this throughout the entire book of The Red Queen. I even posted about it. I was like, Victoria Aveyard, who the heck am I supposed to ship? You are ruining my life. And it was great.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated to see now. See, this is the thing. It's like I read the end and I'm like, oh, how does it happen?
You ruined that. Because that book has so many weird twists happening all throughout it. And then at the very end, you're just like, what? What? I did not see that coming.
I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. And it's kind of fun for me to kind of to know the end and to see the motions of it as it happens. And I'm like, this is cool. I get it. I get it now.
Like now you can kind of read said character and be like trying to look for those little hints of how they turned out the way they turned out.
Exactly.
Those are our recommendations for sure. If you want to recommend us something ever, we welcome that. You can always do that by emailing in at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to our website at factionfandom.com and go to the contacts tab and leave us a comment that way. We do. Definitely something we don't do very often, but definitely leave us a review on iTunes, because that helps people on iTunes kind of find us faster. And as much as I hate to admit it, iTunes is probably the most, where we get most of our subscribers and the most listeners at, because it's just so easy and resourceful. Or you can go on Tumblr, which is always a lot of fun.
It is.
Check out Alyssa's blog and What Susan Asks, because those are cool.
They are.
And our Tumblr is faction-fandom.tumblr.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Fandom Podcast. And I'm wondering if maybe I should make a Facebook page or a Facebook group. I don't do the Facebook thing. I just use it to follow the people I know. But a lot of people don't do Tumblr and don't do Twitter. They do Facebook. So if you want a Facebook page or a Facebook group to talk about to other Divergent fans and get to know them and get to know us, then let us know. Because I'm thinking about it. I'm on the fence about that. I don't know. I probably won't, unless there's a bunch of people who says, make us a Facebook. And then I'll be like, okay, sure, why not? That's not going to happen unless you write in.
Nope. No, it is not. That. Write us notes. And we love notes.
Definitely.
Notes are nice.
We love them. Notes are very fun. And until next time, my name is Stephanie.
And my name is Alyssa.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
The gas was what people to put sleep. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm sorry. I just saw your dog raise its head, and I was like, what the fuck is moving in the bathroom?
Is that
the other
I
side?
Don't even know what it's on. Oh, Coco. Look, there are six of them in this room, so if you see something going on in the background, then that's probably what's happening.
Oh my god. I just like saw a head rise. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, yeah, it's a recurring theme of leaders gone bad here, and I'm just sorry. Saying.
No, I'm sorry. You said leaders gone bad, and the first thing that popped in my head was this like really unfortunate image of Janine like dancing in front of a camera.
What does that even mean?
The video where they go to spring break and they video all these girls getting
popular. Oh, like girls gone wild, girls leaders bad gone wild. Bad. Okay, I was like, what are you talking about?
I'm sorry, that just like popped into my head. I was like, what is this?
I thought you were going for she was in the throes of passion, and I was gonna
in throes of passion? That wouldn't make any sense.
I don't know. That's the phrase, isn't it? Throes of passion?
Yes, but it can be anything you want it to be.
I wasn't prepared for it. I was, okay, sorry.
I'm sorry.
It
could also be that I just found out that they are going to be making a 50 Shades of Grey sequel, and that just makes me cry.
Oh, okay. I'm
gonna stop, because no one cares.